With fall elections a little over 6 months away, it's that time of the election cycle when the attention of lawmakers starts to turn from legislation to politics.
Members of Congress are on recess for 2 weeks. Many of them are in their home districts raising money and talking about hot topics like Obamacare.
The word on the street is that the Senate is well within reach for Republicans, and money is pouring in on both sides.
USA Today politics editor Paul Singer joins us every Wednesday at this time for an inside look at Congress. And this week we'll take a look at some of the most hotly contested congressional seats this fall. Paul, thanks for being back with us.
Always a pleasure, Veronica. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. So it sounds like members are in recess. They're often back in their home districts. So what do you think the message is as they go back to their home states?
Well, I believe part of the message is going to be about Obamacare. The Democrats want to go back to their states and tout some of the success. They want to point out that more than 7 million people have signed up for the Health Care Act. Keep in mind, there's also some private sign-ups that are outside of the federal exchanges. And basically, they're going to try and make the point that, hey, this thing is actually starting to take hold and starting to work. Republicans are going to say just the opposite. They're going to make Obamacare again part of the conversation and say it's a government takeover of your health care. They promise you can keep your doctor and you can't. Prices are going to be going up. And it's bad, 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 and we should fix it.
So are Democrats actually turning to embrace Obamacare at least a little bit? Because prior to this, the message had been sort of distance yourself. It doesn't seem like it's working out that well, and we want to get reelected.
Well, the whole theory has been that they would run away from the law, but I'm not sure that's actually all that true. I mean, I think if it begins to achieve what the intended outcome was, which is people who did not have insurance getting insured, insurance becoming more predictable and more accessible to people who have pre-existing conditions or otherwise are in need, then I think Democrats will be proud to stand up next to it and say, hey, look, we are in the process of fixing the system. I think what you will see is on all fronts, the Democrats will be saying it still needs repair, that it's not a perfect law and it needs to be fixed. But I would not be surprised to see Democrats claiming some success and some pride in their ownership of the law.
So what happens to the Republican message then if Democrats start to embrace Obamacare? Do Republicans continue to attack on that front, or do they change tack?
No, totally.
They're all in.
Yeah, no, the Republicans, because a couple of things are going to happen. We believe that you'll see people having the insurance rates starting to kick in this summer that are slightly more expensive and possibly significantly more expensive than their prior insurance. The Republicans think that sticker shock is going to be a very painful thing. And they're going to, again, say it's the Democrats' fault, it's the Obamacare law fault, this is a bad law. And for a lot of Republicans, the issue is not even the sort of on-the-ground impact of the law. The real implication for them is overreach of government. And you know, the Democrats misnamed this law from the beginning. When they named it the Affordable Care Act, it's not a very catchy name. And so the name that stuck instead, and the Democrats themselves have begun to embrace, is Obamacare. That makes it easy for Republicans to paint as part of Obama's big government outreach, overreach, some sort of imperial presidency. It will be very much part of the message.
Interesting to talk about that as a branding mistake, but
we
can talk about that another time. I want to get to the Senate, because the Senate is hanging in the balance right now. Democrats under the gun to keep it, Republicans looking to take it over. Tell us what's at stake here.
Well, what's at stake is the control of the agenda in Congress. There are the Republicans need to take a net 6 seats from the Democrats to gain the majority again and control both the House and the Senate. And there are about a dozen races that are very, very close, and the Republicans are clearly within reach if they're able to win some key races, particularly in places like Louisiana, where Democrat Mary Landrieu is running for re-election. Mark Pryor, next door in Arkansas, another Democrat running for re-election. These are states that voted overwhelmingly Republican in the presidential campaign, but they have Democratic senators, both of whom, by the way, voted for the Affordable Care Act. and both of whom are now very much on the defensive. If the Republicans can take those seats and a few more, they could take control of the Senate.
So how vulnerable are these seats? You mentioned Mary Landrieu from Louisiana and Mark Pryor from Arkansas. Let's take a look at those as sort of bellwethers. Where do they stand?
Well, they're neck and neck. Particularly in the Arkansas seat, the Republicans have a really solid candidate they're really happy with. They have a guy named Tom Cotton. He's a military veteran. He's a young guy. He's been in Congress a few years. He's very good looking, just very energetic and very young, and he's running unopposed for the Republican nomination. So he can already start sort of going at it with Mark Pryor, and they've already been going pretty much, mano a mano. It's hard to tell. I mean, the polls, it's, of course, early in this race. The polls are pretty split. Most recent polls have Pryor maybe ahead by a couple of points, but for an incumbent senator, that is not at all comfortable, and there is millions of dollars pouring into that race. Landrieu, we're still trying to figure out who's going to be running against her, but, again, she's never polling much above 50, and that could be a really, really tough race for her.
Now, on the other hand, Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader, looking a little bit vulnerable right now, at least in fundraising. What do you see in that race?
The McConnell race is interesting. The first hurdle he has to get over is a primary. It was expected this was going to be very difficult for him. He had a Tea Party challenger who has accused McConnell of being kind of an institutional Republican, go along with the Democrats, backing the big spending agenda. That candidate, a guy named Bevin, has not really caught fire, and it looks like McConnell will be able to win his primary easily, but he still has to spend money on it. And then waiting in the wings in the general election is a Democrat named Allison Lundergan Grimes, very well known in the state and a very close pal, it turns out, of the Clintons. She's already had Bill Clinton out there campaigning with her. She's bringing in a lot of money. She outraised McConnell in the first quarter of this year, $2.7 million for the first 3 months of the year. It's going to be a slugfest in the general election. And McConnell still, like I said, has to focus on also winning his primary.
Now, we talked about a couple of vulnerable Senate seats in the South for Democrats, Mark Pryor, Mary Landrieu. Can we generalize? Is this, in general, a problem that Democrats have in the South?
Yeah. I mean, if you look across the South, it's very hard for Democrats to win. I mean, if you look at the results of the presidential election, you'll see every time you see a map on the wall, it's red across the bottom all the way. And it is hard for Democrats to win those races. It's also particularly hard because, as we've talked about on this show, there is much less interest in a kind of moderate centrist, get along kind of Congress. There's much less interest in compromise. So the Democrats in the Republican areas, and for that matter, the Republicans in the Democratic areas, are running for their lives because nobody's really interested in having someone stand up and say, yeah, I'm from the other party, but, I can work well across the aisle. That doesn't get you very far.
So what do you make of this race, this midterm race that's shaping up, given what you just said about not being a race for centrists or moderates? What is the characteristic of this race in general going to be?
Well, I think there's two things that are going to be critical. The first is the Health Care Act. This is really going to be the year of the referendum on the Affordable Care Act. If Republicans are going to win, they're going to win in large measure because a lot of people, particularly a lot of white people, are going to come out and vote against what they call Obamacare. That is going to be the motivating factor that drives people to the polls. If the Democrats survive, it's going to be because, one, the economy is getting better and people are feeling more comfortable that the economy is getting better. And two, they're going to discover that this health care law has turned out to their advantage, that they like it better, it's not as bad as they thought it was going to be, that some of the horror stories didn't come true. I really do believe that, certainly all elections are local elections to some degree, and, Mary Landrieu wants to talk about flood insurance, not Obamacare. But this really is going to be the year that all the national money, all the national attention, and many of these races are going to be about, do you or do you not vote for the Health Care Act?
And Paul, in our last 30 seconds here, if Republicans are successful in taking the Senate, President Obama still in the office can veto bills. How do politics then actually change in Washington?
Well, you get more divided government, obviously. I think one of the critical things, obviously, is it will be very, very hard for Obama to get any of his agenda items voted on. Currently, he sort of relies on the Senate to bring up the things he cares about, even if the House is going to vote him down. If the Republicans take the Senate, he won't even have that. The budget battles will be fierce because he's got no champion on the Hill.
Paul, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
We've been talking to Paul Singer, politics editor at USA Today. He joins us every Wednesday at this time to share his insights on Congress.